In 1995, just prior to the Atlanta Olympic Games, a study was conducted in which 198 athletes were asked to consider some scenarios. And one of the scenarios they were given was this: you are offered a banned drug that comes with two guarantees. Firstly, you will not be caught. And secondly, you will win every event you enter for the next 5 years, and then you will die from the side effects of the substance. Would you take it? More than half of the athletes said yes. More than 50% of the athletes, Olympic athletes or aspiring Olympic athletes, said yes, they would take the drug, even if it meant that after those 5 years, they would die from the side effects. It's astonishing, don't you think? More than half of them would give up everything, even their own lives, in order to win the gold medal and to get all the glory that comes with it. 5 years, 5 years of gold and glory was to them a treasure, a prize worth giving everything in order to get it. Now, I hope that most of us think these athletes are foolish. Who would give up their life even for such success? And we can see that the prize, the gold medal, it doesn't warrant such a sacrifice. But the question I want to ask you tonight is there something worth giving up everything for? Is there a thing, is there something out there that it's worth giving up everything to get that thing? Even our whole lives. What is that thing, if it is there? You know, we might say sometimes things like, I'd give everything to do this or to do that or have this or have that. I'd give everything to get a good night's sleep. Maybe there's how many year 12s? Put your hand up if you're in year 12 at the moment. It's mostly over here, a couple over here. I'd give everything just to have the next 2 or 3 weeks done. Is that right? No one. Okay, they're all really excited about their exams in the next 2 weeks. We say that kind of stuff, but we don't really mean it. We don't really mean we would give everything, do we? Is there something so good, so valuable, that it is worth giving up everything to have it? And if so, what is it? And friends, Jesus says yes. Jesus says yes, there is something worth giving up everything for. And he tells two little parables, little stories in the Bible, which help us to understand this point. We're going to look at these stories tonight. It's in Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 13, just three verses, verses 44 to 46. Matthew 13, 44 to 46. You'll see it on the screen behind me, but there's also some Bibles there under the seats in front of you if you want to look it up with me. Let's read what he says. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy went and sold all he had and bought that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything he had and bought it. These two little stories, the three verses, they come as a little pair. You can see they belong together. And in these little stories, Jesus is making the clear, the unambiguous statement that it is worth giving up everything to be a part of the kingdom of heaven. It is worth giving up everything to be a part of the kingdom of heaven. In the first parable, we see a man who is working a field, a laborer going about his daily business. As he was a laborer, it would seem that he's poor. It implies at least that he was a poor man. It implies that he was expecting nothing that day except for his wage at the end of the day. But as he worked in the field, ploughing perhaps, suddenly, clunk, he hit something. Something hard in the ground. And he brushes away the dirt, and there in the ground he sees a box. A box that is full of the most precious treasure, gold and jewels of an incalculable worth. He wasn't looking for the treasure, but he just stumbled across it. And so he hides it where he found it, and he goes as fast as possible. It's a fire sale. He sells everything that he can sell to get enough money to buy that field. You want $20? Yeah, take $20. I'll take $20. Thanks very much. Just enough money to get that field for himself. He wanted that field because he knew that buried in that field was a treasure so rich that he could give up everything and it would be worth it. And then the second story, the second parable, is exactly the same as the first, except for one little detail. In the first story, the man wasn't looking for the treasure. But in this, in the second one, the story of the merchant, the pearl merchant, he was searching for something. This man was a rich man. He was a man who made a living seeking out the finest pearls and trading them. He had an eye for a good pearl. He knew a good one when he saw it. And he was hunting for, it says, the fine pearls. And so one day in the marketplace, he was continuing his search. And then amongst all the pearls, as they sat there on display, suddenly he found what he'd been looking for. The perfect one. Blemish-free. And so, like the first man, what did he do? He left it there, he went and he sold everything that he had so he could buy that pearl. He knew he had to have it for himself. Friends, the kingdom of heaven, Jesus says, is a treasure of immense value, incalculable value. It is a pearl. And Jesus' point that he's making here as he's teaching his followers is clear. He's saying it is worth giving up everything, absolutely everything, to be a part of the kingdom of heaven, which begs the question, what is the kingdom of heaven? And how do we become a part of it? And the kingdom of heaven, or the kingdom of God, as it's said in other books of the Bible, is a key theme in the Bible. In short, kind of boiling it down to what it really is all about, the Bible says that when Jesus came, a new kingdom had begun. A kingdom which was different to all the earthly kingdoms that had ever been and ever will be. And in this kingdom was defined by kingdom values such as love your enemies, forgiving one another, having compassion for the vulnerable and the weak. All those things that Jesus taught, all those things that characterized his life. He showed us what it looks like to live in the kingdom. And the kingdom has a present reality. It began when Jesus came. And it continues even now. So that if you are a Christian, you live in the kingdom in at least one present sense. But the kingdom will find its ultimate expression when Jesus returns, as he has promised. Jesus is the king of the kingdom. And his kingdom will be established forever. It is an eternal kingdom. A glorious kingdom. The kingdom of heaven in which Jesus reigns and his people live with him in peace and in joy. Forever. This is what we call eternal life. Maybe that's a phrase you're more familiar with, but the experience of being in the kingdom of heaven is eternal life. And so, friends, clearly, to be a part of the kingdom of heaven, to have that, to own that, for that to be ours, is a thing of incredible value, of greater value than anything else. It is the treasure above all treasures. And how do we become part of the kingdom of heaven? Well, we trust Jesus. He is the one in whom the kingdom finds its fulfillment. He is the one around whom the kingdom is centered. And so we trust in Jesus. The secret to belonging to the kingdom is to belong to Jesus. We belong to Jesus if we recognize that we have sinned against God and that Jesus died so that our sins might be forgiven and that his death It restored, it repaired, it fixed our relationship with God. And then we also believe that not only did Jesus die, but he also proved his victory over sin by being raised from the dead. And so now we too can have eternal life. We too can live forever in his kingdom if we belong to Jesus. So trusting Jesus is the key to becoming part of the kingdom of heaven. In the last few weeks, the kids and I have been reading through the full version of Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, a book that most of you, I suspect, have read. It's a really interesting book. It's quite old, obviously, but an interesting book. It kind of tells the story of an era many generations ago, I suppose, now. And last night, we actually watched the first making of Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory, whatever it's called, and it's a strange movie, actually. But we've been reading through that book and watching that movie. And in that story, what is the only way in to see Mr. Wonka's factory? Come on. The golden ticket, that's right. The only way in to see Mr. Willy Wonka's chocolate factory is to have a golden ticket. And people search high and low and they buy boxes and cartons and shiploads of chocolate bars and then get the golden ticket, or not, as the case may be. That the golden ticket is the only way in. And friends, in the same way, the only way into the kingdom of heaven is to trust in Jesus. The only way in. The two guys who've been baptized here tonight have understood this. I know that for sure because I talk to them all the time. We have a relationship with these guys, but they know that the only way in to the kingdom of heaven, the only way to have life forever with God is through Christ, to trust in him. They have recognized the supreme value of the kingdom of heaven. It is worth more than anything else. And they know that the forgiveness of sins and the eternal life that they can have in God's kingdom is a treasure that is worth more than anything else in all of life. And so they have placed their trust in Jesus, who died for them, who was raised to life for them, so that by trusting in him, they may enter the kingdom. They may have a share in the kingdom of heaven. That's how we become part of the kingdom. And then we think about this, friends. These parables, they ask us a really searching, a probing question. If the kingdom of heaven is so valuable, if it is truly as valuable as Jesus is saying here in this passage, the question for us is, are you willing to give up everything to be a part of it? This is the clear lesson that he's teaching here. Both men, the man in the field, the pearl merchant, both of them discover treasures of supreme value. Both of these men give up absolutely everything they have to gain those treasures. They cannot lay hold of the treasure until they give up everything else they've got. It will cost them everything they have, but it is worth it, says Jesus. This could be wrong, but the illustration still applies, I suppose. I believe in Mexico that you cannot be a citizen of Mexico unless you have renunciated all your citizenships elsewhere. They require for you to be a naturalized citizen of Mexico that you would renunciate all your citizenship in all other countries. Friends, that's kind of what we're talking about here. In the same way, those who desire to become citizens of the kingdom of heaven, those who desire to have their life bound up in the kingdom of heaven, must first renounce their citizenship in this life. Those who desire the eternal treasure of the kingdom of heaven must be willing to lay aside the temporal treasures of this life. To give up everything, friends, is to say, my desires for my life, what I want in my career, what I want for my family, my comfort, my security, none of it is more important than what you have in store for me, Jesus, in your kingdom. I am willing to lose even those good things because to belong to you, Jesus, to belong to you, Jesus, and to have forgiveness of sins and life forever, and to be with you in your eternal kingdom, that is more important than anything this world has to offer me. That's big talk, isn't it? Those are big words. And words are very easy to say, aren't they? And so let me ask you, are these words true for you? Are they not just things that you say, but are they the truths that you live out, the reality that you live out each day? Jesus has made it possible for us to enter his kingdom simply by trusting in him. We go in, but choosing to do so is costly. To place your trust in Christ, to follow him, will cost you. It might cost you friends or status or a promotion at work, because the kingdom is a place of humility and service, not pride and self-promotion. It might cost you financially, because the kingdom has values of integrity and generosity. The values of the kingdom aren't hoard wealth for yourself and use unethical means to gain wealth for yourself. It might cost you family. Jesus makes it very clear that those who follow after him might find their family disowning them. Maybe some of you know that experience. But if you don't think this happens, you just got to listen to some testimonies from Christians, from Iran, from Pakistan. It happens day in, day out. People turn to follow Christ. People turn and put their trust in him. People say, I want the kingdom of heaven more than anything else, and they lose their family. It costs everything. Friends, it might even cost you your life. That is the reality. This Australia we live in today is a very safe place, but most of the people here in this room will still be around in 30, 40, 50 years. Who knows what it will be like in that time? Will we live in a country that is so completely different that it might even cost us our life to follow Christ, to trust in him? Friends, membership in the kingdom is not cheap. It will cost everything, but it is eternally worthwhile. It is the best investment, if you like, that you could ever make. These sacrifices that I'm talking about, they might look like huge sacrifices, but you will come to see that in the scheme of eternity, they are so utterly insignificant. For those year 12s here, and perhaps anyone else who's doing uni at the moment, you know what an all-nighter is at the moment. An all-nighter is probably indicative of your lack of preparation, but anyway, that's something else. An all-nighter is basically when you lose a night's sleep because you weren't organized enough to do an assignment on time. You miss a night's sleep for an assignment, and it can feel after that happens. You know that feeling when the sun starts coming up, which is even earlier in Queensland than it used to be in New South Wales where I was born. But anyway, the sun comes up and you're like, wow, it's actually the day. I've missed the whole night's sleep. I've sacrificed that night's sleep for the sake of this assignment. And so you're like, well, I guess I'm going to have to get through the rest of this day until the sun goes down again so I can go to bed. And at probably about 10 o'clock in the morning, you're thinking, I don't know if I can actually continue anymore. But you know what? 2 weeks later, you've forgotten about that, haven't you? 2 weeks later, you've had a few nights' sleep, hopefully. And it's almost like it never happened. It's almost like that you never made that sacrifice in the first place because you've recovered. And friends, in the same way, the sacrifices that we make in this life, they hurt. They are painful. They will cause us to sweat. Life will be difficult. Giving up everything to follow Christ, to place our trust in him, giving up everything for the sake of the kingdom of heaven is difficult. Losing your family is difficult. Even your life, yes, that is difficult. Losing those things for Jesus' sake is not easy, but the promise that Jesus makes, it is an ironclad guarantee, is that we will look back one day. We will look back one day, and it won't diminish what we have done, but they will look to us like they weren't even sacrifices at all, because so great will our joy and our happiness and our satisfaction be in the kingdom of heaven that it will be nothing to give up these things now. They will fade into insignificance. So friends, are you willing? Are you willing to give up everything to gain the kingdom of heaven? It is infinitely worthwhile, but it costs. Tonight we have seen two young men publicly declare their allegiance to Christ, that they are part of his kingdom, despite what it might cost them. But what about you? You've heard their story. What's your story? You've seen them profess their faith, their trust in Jesus. What about you? Are you willing Are you willing to give up everything in order to become part of the kingdom of heaven? Tonight you can make a decision to do that. Tonight you can make a decision to give up everything to enjoy and experience for all eternity everything that Jesus has in store for you in his kingdom. Now perhaps you've already made a decision like that sometime in the past. And I hope that tonight once again you have been reminded. You've seen these men get baptized. You've heard their stories. As you've heard God's word proclaimed here. I hope you're reminded that the kingdom and all the blessings that it entails are worth so much more than anything in this life, any sacrifice that you could make. And perhaps tonight is just a call to you that to rejoice in the infinitely wonderful blessings that are yours as a citizen of the kingdom of heaven. But perhaps you are here tonight and you have never trusted Jesus as your Savior, as your Lord, and you have no part in the kingdom of heaven. You have not gained the kingdom of heaven. You have not received it. Perhaps you're like the man in the first parable. Perhaps you've just been navigating the ordinary of life. Perhaps you came to this church tonight just to watch your friend get baptized. You weren't even sure what that really meant. And you've come along here tonight to see that. And as you've watched and listened tonight, it's like your shovel, your plow has just clunked straight into the treasure. And suddenly, unexpectedly and amazingly, you see the treasure, beautiful. It's impossible to ignore the beauty of this treasure that has been uncovered for you. The kingdom of heaven, of infinite value. Is that you tonight? Or perhaps you're like the second man. Maybe you've been searching and searching and searching for something of great value. And you've checked out what this world has to offer, the money or the success or the career or the entertainment. All these things are good things, aren't they? But there is something ultimately dissatisfying about them. There is something ultimately that will not endure beyond this life. And then maybe in your hunger you have gone and looked at other religions, at other worldviews. You've contemplated what they have to offer. But again, as you look at those things, you see something just isn't there. Something is missing. It is unsatisfying. Could I say to you, friends, if that is you, that your search for the thing of ultimate value, your search for the thing that is of most worth in all of creation, it need not go on any longer. It is here. It is here. Jesus Christ, the forgiveness of sins, the life eternal, the experience of being in his kingdom eternally is what the greatest treasure is, the greatest treasure you could ever find. Nothing is of greater value than this. Your search does not need to go on. Friends, whatever the case is for you, all of us are again tonight confronted by the reality of Jesus. He stands here before you. He speaks to us tonight in these words. He is the one who died for you. He is the one who says you are faced with a choice. Will you surrender to him? Will you trust in him? Are you willing to give up everything so that you might belong to him and enter his kingdom, friends? You have the opportunity to do that tonight. And I urge you, if that is something you have never done before, please, please, for Jesus' sake, do not leave here tonight without doing that, without placing your trust in him. I know it's a big decision, and I've outlined, I hope, how much it will cost. But please do not leave here tonight. You won't regret placing your trust in him. I'm going to pray in a moment. I'm not asking you to do a big song and dance. But if you believe that God is speaking to you tonight, if you believe that these words, this challenge that Jesus gives here, Matthew chapter 13, if you believe that these words are for you, if you believe that it is God speaking to you tonight, his Holy Spirit is convicting you of the sin in your life and your need to trust in him, if you believe that you indeed are not yet part of the kingdom of heaven and you want to be a part of his eternal and glorious kingdom, then can I ask you to pray with me in your hearts as I pray? Can I ask you to do something? We'll have our eyes closed. Can I ask you just to put your hand on your heart? Not a big show and the song and dance, not a big show, but just something for you to affirm tonight, that this is something that God is speaking to you about. If God is saying to you, I want you to put your trust in me tonight, would you put your hand on your heart as we pray together and give your life to him? Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for what you have done for us. Thank you that your kingdom, the kingdom in which Jesus Christ, our Savior, is King, is an eternal kingdom. And we give you praise and honor and glory because your kingdom is the thing of greatest value, of the most infinite worth. Lord, help us, I pray. Lord, I pray that we would put our trust in you, that you would allow us the joy of entering into your kingdom as we trust in you for the forgiveness of our sins. Lord, if there is someone here tonight who is placing their trust in you for the first time, we just want to give you honor and glory and praise for that. Lord, please be at work in our hearts by your Spirit. We thank you, Lord, that you give us forgiveness of sins. We thank you, Lord, that we have life eternal. We recognize that apart from you, apart from trusting in you, we have no hope, but that with you we get to experience all of these things and blessings that we could never even imagine. Lord, help us, I pray, to rejoice in this reality, that the kingdom of heaven is worth more than anything else, and that it is ours. And Lord, help us. Help us to count the cost daily, to take up our cross and walk with you. We know, Lord, that sometimes in this life things won't be easy, that following Jesus and placing our trust in him is not a path well traveled. But Lord, help us, give us strength to endure, we pray, because we know what is lying in wait for us. We give you thanks for Jesus' sake. Amen. Friends, if you have prayed tonight and you would like to talk to someone about the steps that you can take, if you've come to trust in Christ for the first time, would you please come and talk to me? I'll just sit down here for a few minutes after the service. Come and talk to me. Come and talk to Pastor Murray, or talk to one of the friends who's brought you along tonight. Let's sing.